Sairam, dear listeners, this is Prem, your friend from Team Radio Sai, and welcome to Radio Sai Answering Booth. I think I can still say it's a brand new show on Radio Sai. 1 week old is still brand new, I guess. Yes, listeners, this is a new segment in Thursday Live, and we started last week, and if you're joining us today, then I might have to explain what this program is all about. In fact, I need to explain once more to everybody what this program is all about, because there seems to be so much misunderstanding with regards to this program, and I can see that from the questions I've been receiving and the comments that people have shared with me personally, positive and some extremely critical too. So let me explain to all your friends once again what this program is all about and what this program is not about too. Well, this is a question-answer program where the questions are going to be yours and the answers we will give. So what sort of questions are we inviting for this show? Well, the questions, simply put, have to be about practical problems and day-to-day issues. Situations in everyday life relating to, let's say, maybe family, career, habits, school, college, and any such thing. Any situation or dilemma in which the question arises, what is the right thing for me to do? Or what would Swami expect me to do in such a situation? Or what practical spirituality can apply in this? What practical spirituality can I apply in this situation? As I explained to you all last week, this inquiry into what would Swami want me to do, or what is right and what is wrong, is the first step, the primary step in spiritual living. So if I am to rephrase that, anything practical about which you would want spiritual counseling. That's a big word. So what are the questions we don't want you to ask? That's important to note too. Please don't ask us purely philosophical questions like, is everything destiny? If everyone is divine, why are people indulging in crime? Or theoretical questions like, how many more years Kali Yuga will last? And what has Swami told about the doomsday? Or some people have asked questions like, who composed the Mangal Arati that's sung in Prashanthi Nilayam? Or where can I get Parthi school applications? Please, this program is not for such questions, but you're always welcome to send them to our regular feedback mail, listener@radiosai.org. If we have the details, we will furnish answers for you, or we will direct you to the resources where you can read more or find out more details. Some people are of the opinion that this is a prayer program. They're sending mails like, Swami, please take care of my children. Swami, please cure me of this disease. And I think this has also caused a bit of confusion. Please don't send us such mails. We are not playing mediators here for your prayers. And as always, the connection between you and Swami is direct. And we at Radio Sai will never ever try to become mediums or mediators. So what are the answers we will give? That's the second half of the program, right? I'm not going to give what we refer to as, you know, in South India we call it pariharams. I think some people are of the opinion of, you know, that we're going to give such answers too. I'm not going to say, go to Ganesha and do 21 pradakshinas for 21 days, stop having cucumber for 3 months, light lamps in front of anthills. Absolutely not. I will not be giving such solutions. Or in fact, you can be sure you will not get any miraculous quick fixes for your problems in this show. If at all I make any such suggestions, it will be only if Swami has himself suggested it as a generally applicable prayer, or let us say to a group of students or devotees, or in his discourses. In this program, I will only be looking into Swami's message and telling you what Swami expects of us devotees in different situations in life. So that's what this program is going to be all about. When we discuss answers here, it should only enable you to... Okay, as I explained to you last week, I'm coming back to that point again. Each of us get answers for such dilemmas, certainly from within. So I'm not going to be giving you answers or counsel that is absolutely alien to you. You know, when we discuss answers here, it should only enable you to differentiate the voice of conscience. As Swami says, the master that we all have to follow is that conscience, and that is inside each one of us. And we have to differentiate that voice of conscience from the voices in our head that always come out of, you know, insecurity, selfishness or confusion. And so the answers which we give is only going to enable you to hear that voice of conscience louder, or, you know, discern which is that voice of conscience and which is the voice of confusion. In fact, some people who have sent questions have also added that this is what I'm doing right now and I'm not sure if it is right. And they're actually doing the right thing. And when we discuss answers to questions in the light of Swami's message, I think it will only reassure people such as this that what they're doing is in fact right, and encourage them to go on doing that. Finally, coming to the question, why should Radio Sai do such a program? Firstly, many people have asked for a program such as this that will directly address day-to-day issues. Look, we keep discussing Swami's message in various programs, and even when we give talks, I'm part of a couple of programs on Radio Sai already. The only difference is it is going to be, this program is going to be specific to the questions relating to real life situations that you will be sending to me. Spirituality is something which we always discuss, Swami's message we always discuss, but in this program we will only be putting it in context of the question that you will be sending. Well, so in summary, this is not a send me your worries, we will pray for you program. It is not a program that you write to know any information relating to the ashram, bhajans or such things. This is a show on how to apply spirituality in everyday life. And the format is that you send me questions of real life situations and I give answers based on Swami's message. So if you have a question, send it to me directly by mailing to prem@radiosai.org, that is P-R-E-M at radiosai.org. If you can record your questions and send me an audio file, that would be wonderful. I can then play your question directly. If the questions are of very personal nature, I will not be disclosing your name. Or if you want to remain anonymous, do let me know. The questions that you ask may be in someone else's mind too. So I believe the answers should be useful to many more than just the ones asking questions. So I hope I've made what this program is clear. If you still have doubts, you can always write to me. You can always write to us at listener@radiosai.org or write to me directly at prem@radiosai.org. So with those introductory remarks and a few clarifications, I think, which was very much required, let's go into the program. And today we're going to have two questions. Last time I dealt with one. Two questions, and it's very interesting how the variety of issues with which the questions that are coming to us are based on. So today again, we'll have two questions. So dear listeners, over now to the second episode of Radio Sai Answering Booth. So the next question we've got is from Behrin. Of course, this listener has not recorded her question and sent it to us. I have Sister Sumana here, one of our volunteers. She will be reading out the question that we've got from this listener.
Sai Ram, my name is Usha Sai. I'm from Bahrain. My question is, how to improve our self-confidence, especially when we advise our children during exams, and to help them come out of peer pressures? In other words, how to prepare my child to write exams? He says he blacks out the minute he sees the question paper. How can we bring in practical spirituality here? Kindly guide.
That's a very important question, and I'm sure a lot of parents have this in their mind. Well, I'll try to answer this question in two parts. And the two parts would be what you could do as a parent and what you could make your child do. Okay, the first part, let me start from the last line of that question. How can we bring practical spirituality in here? Well, if you're talking about spirituality, you must always remember this. Swami would say to all of us students and educationists, teachers, end of education is character. Make it very clear to your child that marks are not as important as character is. I think you'll have to reiterate to your child that, you know, you want goodness of character and not marks. And this is something that you just cannot tell them. But the parents will have to make the children believe through their actions, through their words. You can appreciate little acts of goodness and reprimand them when they go wrong. And keep reminding them that education is not measured by marks and ranks, but by morality and character. And you cannot have a spiritual approach if you are looking at education as a tool for a better life. As Swami would so beautifully say, that education is not for a living, but for life. This is what makes the approach spiritual. Okay, does that mean it's okay to not do well in exams? Well, not really. I know as parents we're all concerned if our children don't do well in exams. But taking a cue from another point that the question had mentioned, there was a mention about peer pressure. Okay, in my opinion, there are two types of peer pressure. One is what the children face in school. When they try to make friends, when they try to become part of peer groups, they want to appear fashionable, they want to be cool, you know, according to their peers. That's one sort of peer pressure. But the other peer pressure is what parents put them through. You know, when constantly you compare your child with others, your neighbors, your other classmates of your children, their marks and their ranks. I wouldn't say it's completely wrong, but it puts enormous amount of pressure on the children. And if you are thinking of bringing spirituality into parenting, I think you must understand that as a parent, the role that you play is to bring out the best of your child and not the comparative best. You should make your son or your daughter do his or her best, not comparatively better than a classmate or a neighbor, as I said. So keep telling your children that you want them to do their best and not better than so and so. I think the moment we do this, we give a child a very pressure-free environment to learn. And I think this will definitely help children learn better, do well in their studies better. So this was the first part of the answer, which is what, as I said, parents can do. Now, a few practical things that you can make your child do, and this is very important, as these are tips, you know, which we would get constantly from Swami, and we as students have benefited enormously from these tips. You know, I don't need to say that because these are directly from Swami. So believe me, you can ask your child to blindly follow these, and it's sure to benefit your son or daughter. First point, early to bed and studies early in the morning. Please, please do not encourage your children to study late nights. And Swami would say this over and over again to us. In fact, Swami would say that when we get into this habit of sleeping early and waking up early and studying, Swami would say that over a period of time, you'll see that your memory also starts improving. And we're all testimony to that. The second point is that ask your child to pray to Lord Ganesha before beginning studies every day. You know, I can't give you a reasoning for this, but it again goes back to the fact that Swami himself has installed statues of Ganesha outside his schools, colleges, and every important institution of his. And Swami would tell us to pray to Lord Ganesha, and, you know, you can ask students like me that we owe a lot of our academic success to Lord Ganesha and his grace, alright? So this is actually a very, very important thing. You can get your child into this habit of beginning the day's study by praying to Lord Ganesha. And be sure this is directly an instruction from Swami and it will help. And end the day again by making a prayer to Lord Ganesha and Goddess Saraswati and offering that day's study to them. And these are two things that you can make your child do. And about the blackout when the student sees the question paper, I think it's a very common problem, and I'm sure many of us when we were students have also gone through this. The best way to do that is to train your child to keep telling himself or herself that they have studied well and they know the answers. You know, the fear and panic which you feel when you suddenly look at the paper and say that, oh God, I don't know the answers, you know, that can really lead to a memory loss. The best way and the only way to counter that is by positive reinforcement, and it can only come by training, you know. ask your children to remind themselves when they're sitting in the exam that they don't have to be worried, they've studied well, they don't have to panic, and they will remember the answers. In regards to this point, a practical tip that Swami would give us, and I think almost all of us have followed diligently, is when you get the question paper, answer the questions you know very well or you are very sure of first. I don't know how many schools permit this, to answer the question paper randomly. It was, of course, very much permitted in our university, because Swami would tell us that when you get your question paper, pick out those questions which you're very sure of, answer them first. Because once you answer a couple of questions confidently, confidence which comes out of that enables you to really do well and remember and recollect what you've studied. It's a very practical tip that Swami would tell us. And if it is permitted in your children's school, I think you should give them this tip to go through the question paper, pick out those questions which they know well, which they're very confident of, and answer them first. And a final tip, again, directly from Swami. We've heard this innumerable number of times before exams. Swami would tell us that, when you are supposed to write the answers in the exam, how can you just read the textbook when you're studying? It's such a simple thing. Swami would say that, so even while you're studying, get into this habit of writing and studying, not just reading and studying. So when you're preparing for an exam, when you're sitting and going through your lessons, this habit of writing and studying, if there's an equation, write it and study. If there is a problem that you're solving, solve it by writing. Don't just read through it, because many times we will read through it, we'll feel that we've got a grip of it, but when we start writing it, we will get stuck up somewhere. So this is something which Swami would tell us, that write and study, write and study. So that's about the answers I can think of for this question. So I'll quickly go through what I said. As I said, there are two parts to this answer, which I thought I will put it across that way. First is what parents can do. First of all, make it very clear to your child that marks, ranks are not as important as goodness of character is. This is something which Swami is very particular about. The end of education is character. Education and learning should give you humility. Education should give you good character. Keep telling your child that you want them to do their best and not the best in their class or the best in their neighborhood. Always try to bring out the best in your child. That's a very important thing. Coming to the tips that you can give your children and make them follow: early to bed, early morning study, that's one. Start your study by praying to Ganesha, and at the end of the day, when you finish your study, offer whatever you studied, your efforts, to Lord Ganesha and Goddess Saraswati. Again, tips that Swami has given. Train your child to keep telling himself or herself that he has studied well and he knows the answers. Especially, this is during the exam, when they get the question paper, ask them to positively reinforce that there's nothing to worry, they've studied well and they're confident. The other tip is, answer questions that you know very well first, if this is allowed again in your schools and colleges. Answer those questions that you're very confident of first, and then go on to questions that you're probably not very confident or you're not sure of. And the last tip is, get your child into the habit of writing and studying. This is, again, a very important point that Swami would tell us as students. So that's what I can think of as answers to this question. Ms. Usha Sai, thank you for writing to us from Behrin. So this, I hope, is an answer which would benefit a lot of other students and parents too. Next question I'd like to discuss was sent to us by Brother Chandrasekhar Tandapani. It was a long mail, and he had sent a lot of details about the professional crisis that he's undergoing. I've requested him that I'll not be having the time to read out that entire mail. Of course, it had a lot of details which probably might not be necessary to share with all of you listeners. But I will give a crux of what the problem was as he wrote to us, and then we will discuss the issue. Let's pray to Swami that we'll be able to give a answer which could be of help to this brother. Okay, in short, Mr. Chandrasekhar left his job and he got into a dealership business with a partner. And it was agreed that there will be equal partners. And most of the permissions, the paperwork, the groundwork, and looking for a site, talking to the landowner, and all of this was done by Mr. Chandrasekhar, and he put to use all of his experience in his previous jobs. He used his contacts, and a lot of his goodwill worked in favor of this new venture. Then it was decided that the others would be major financial contributors to this business, and Mr. Chandrasekhar would be the main working partner. But the money that he borrowed and invested, he did invest a small part, that was recorded as short-term borrowings in the book, while the money the others put in was recorded as capital investments. As you can see clearly, it was an arrangement by which he would eventually not be a partner in that business. So, in essence, much of the work was accomplished by projecting Mr. Chandrasekhar, who wrote to us, as the partner, and slowly he was sidelined. He was given a lesser say in decision-making, and eventually it became like he left his old job looking to become an entrepreneur, get into a new business, but he ended up being another working professional. So he wrote to us asking what would Swami want him to do, and he of course wrote to us that he was a bit depressed, he was not able to sleep, and he was in a lot of inner turmoil. He was asking whether he has to continue in this job or he has to take up another opportunity which is coming his way. Obviously, the answer I give cannot be so specific, Mr. Chandrasekhar, but I think the situation is quite classic, and many of us might encounter this. Many of our brothers and sisters in business might be going through something which is similar to that. To start with, let me tell you a simple thing, a general rule of karma, which Swami would tell us. Let's say in a situation you've done everything correctly, you've not done anything wrong, you've been absolutely dharmic as we understand it, and still something wrong is happening to you. Still bad things are happening to you, things are not happening the way they're supposed to happen. Swami would say that then you can understand that clearly what is happening to you is a karmic consequence. If that is the case, there is no point in running from it, because it will only come to us in a different form. If you leave this company, you go to another company, a similar situation will come. If you leave this partner, go to another partner, a similar situation will come. Because you are not, you're not dealing with a problem related to your approach to work. You're not dealing with a problem which is specific to a person, but you're dealing with something which is karmic. So you will have to come through another situation where you work this out. But having said that, I'm sure that most of us will not know how to differentiate between that. We're not very sure. And also, it is very difficult to stand and take it. And, you know, you go through that period and say that, oh, it's karma, let me go through it. I think we still have to do something about it. So what are the things that we can do? How can we approach this situation? And how can we ensure that we are doing what Swami would want us to do? To start with, I think by all means, protect your interests. There's nothing wrong in that. Swami would say, if you allow another person to do wrong to you, it means you're permitting someone to indulge in adharma, right? I mean, you are saying that I don't mind losing a bit, but in the process, you are allowing somebody to indulge in adharma. And that also could be wrong. And in fact, that is precisely what Lord Krishna says, Yudhishthira and Arjuna, right? That's exactly what Arjuna asks to, why do we need to win and rule over this land at the cost of so many lives? And this is one of the explanations that Krishna gives, that when you permit another to do adharma, you are being party to that adharma yourself. So I think by all means, in the process of protecting your interests, you are also stopping the other person from doing something which is unrighteous, which is the right thing to do. So by all means, if possible, try to protect your interests, but try to do it in a very, very dharmic way. Don't indulge in actions which will counter that person, and you know, you in turn hurt him, or you become revengeful and you try to get even with that person. Try to protect your interests, and all the while try to ensure that you do not step out of your circle of righteousness. As best as possible, try not to think of or do any harm to the other person just because you have been wrong. Coming back to this karma point, you know, Swami would often explain to us, you know, that whatever we call as destiny in life, whatever we go through in this particular lifetime, it's called prarabdha karma. You know, that karma which is going to be the karmic burden for this life, what decides what we suffer or what we enjoy in this life. Yeah, prarabdha karma can be good as well as bad. And the other type of karma which Swami would say is agami karma. That is, even as we go through life and we are enjoying or we are suffering the consequences of this prarabdha karma, we are constantly doing karma, right? That's called the agami karma. It is important for us to make sure that that agami karma is righteous. That karma is righteous, because in response to this prarabdha karma, if you're going to react violently and get revengeful and try to harm the other person, or we get into this idea that if there is no point in being righteous in this world, you know, let me also become an opportunist, let me also be like this. I think that's where most of us lose it. And that is why even when we are going through prarabdha karma, even when we have no control over the way we are going to get out of it, it is very important to ensure that the karma which you're doing in the process is within the bounds of righteousness. I think that is within our control, and that's very important for us to keep in mind. Coming back to that question, the person also wrote to us about he being depressed. I think what I would like to tell you, sir, is if people are trying to make use of you or cheat you, then I think it only means you have some stuff, isn't it? You are talented. So let your confidence come from that talent. And that's within you, that's not without you. If not for this venture, you are sure to succeed in some other venture, right? So let's say you're moving out of this business. So whenever you go, your talent, confidence, your work ethics, the goodwill that you've earned, all of that comes with you. You are not going to leave that behind in this company. Your partners can cheat you of your money. Your partners can cheat you of your powers. But these things which are inside you, your talent, your work ethics, they cannot take away that. So I think it's very important for us to place our confidence on that which is within us. And there is absolutely no necessity to, you know, go into a depression or lose sleep over it. A story which Swami would always tell us, you know, there is this little bird sitting on a branch of tree, and there comes a huge storm, the tree is swaying from one end to the other. But this little bird, which is so much more smaller than that huge storm, which is, you know, swaying this entire tree, is least bothered about what's happening around it. It's casually sitting there. And Swami says, where does this little bird get its confidence from? Swami would say that though this bird is sitting on the branch of a tree, all the while, the confidence of that bird is in its own wings, right? So it's never worried about, oh, this storm is so large and it's going to uproot the tree, this branch is going to break. It's not worried about any of these things, because all the while, even though the bird is little, all its confidence is placed on its little wings. I think this is something which we all have to remember. Yes, we will go through tough times. Yes, situations around us may be not to our liking, may really be very troublesome. But Swami would say, always have that self-confidence. And the more we turn that confidence within, the more we turn that confidence to that self with that capital S, I think there is nothing to worry. So whether you continue in this business or not, I think it's a decision you have to take. But ensure that you've learned the lesson that you're meant to learn through this situation. And try your best, again, it's a very important point, to forgive those who have wronged you. And forgive yourself. You know, don't hold on to the grudge that, oh, I've been so stupid, oh, I've been a loser. Forgive those who have wronged you, and also forgive yourself. And I'm sure Swami is with you, you're good to go. So, Mr. Chandrasekhar Dandabani, thank you for writing to us. As your mail said, this was a problem that you shared with us, but this was not a problem which was very recent. So I hope even as you are listening to this answer, your problem should have been solved. We pray to Swami that that's happened. If not, we do hope that whatever we discussed here as part of this Radio Sai answering booth, you would have got some food for thought, and thinking over it, you will get more clarity. Thank you. Thank you for writing to us. So that, dear listeners, was this week's Radio Sai Answering Booth. This program, as you have seen, is a collaborative effort. So if we have to have this program going forward, you'll have to send me questions, because unless you send me questions, I can't give answers, right? So if you have a question like the ones you just heard on the show, send them to me by mailing at prem@radiosai.org. That's prem@radiosai.org. It would be wonderful if you could send your questions in your own voice. That way I can play it and then answer your questions. So before I leave you, permit me to offer this program at Swami's lotus feet. You'll now be joined by Ganesh and Raghu for the next segment, but I'll be back in an hour's time with Arvind for Afternoon Satsang. But I'll meet you all next week at 11 a.m. on this episode of Radio Sai Answering Booth.